Amen. Well, I'm so glad to be with you at this very time. And I believe very much that you have been mightily blessed since the beginning of this meeting. The Bible says the wind blows wherever it wills. Nobody knows where it's coming from. Mm. And nobody knows where it's going. So are those who are led by the Spirit. Mm. But I want to thank you also, you know, those of you who were here last year, the other year, and those of you who are just joining for the first time. I want to thank you for making it a day today. Now, we're in the beginning of the new year. And in the beginning of the new year, it is good and right for God's people to know what God is saying for the year. Because if we do not know what God says about the year, we will miss out when God begins to operate in what he has ordained for the year. And before I say that, too, I will tell you that God told me to tell you a message. And that message is that God is looking for you. Mm-hmm. That's the title of my message. God is looking for you. And I will go through a few things that the Lord told me personally that you must do for you to be able to operate and enter into his providence. Number one, let me give you a few visions I saw. We started a prayer. Last year, we were all aware of COVID that attacked the whole world. And we were all aware of the financial crisis that also happened. But when that crisis happened, you know, God was in the midst of it. And if you are not very aware of that, I want to be very much aware of it, that God was in the midst of it. And God caused those things to happen, not Satan. The economy of the world was obstructed by God himself because he has said it before we enter the year. And I'm going to play a live video to you just for a few minutes. Now, you know, before I go into sharing those points with you, there is nothing, all of us know this, that there is nothing that happened on earth that God did not know of before it happened.
Yes, yes.
And that God did not permit, even if God did not ordain. God's ordination is different from God's permission. Let me give you an example. God ordained you to be born as a man or a woman. Mm-hmm. Or not.
Yes.
Now, some people in the physical world have decided to change their sex. Mm. They work within God's permission. Not that God validates it, but God allowed them to do it. Why did God allow them to do it? They will come to report before God who sent them as a man before they change their sex to woman. Everything that God, that man does, either good or bad, it is God who gave them that liberty. The liberty may be abused. At the same time, the liberty may be used positively. In the situation where God refused to permit it, that person would not live to see that thing happen. Even if you make a decision to do evil, if God said no, you will not live to see that evil done, no matter how powerful you are. We have seen kings that God took their breath out of them a day before they will go and destroy. So I'm saying that for you to understand that if you look at the life of Job, God did not bring the evil upon Job, but God permitted it. God did not permit it because it's a good thing. God permitted it because God wanted to bring his praise, the praise of his name, out of the dilemma of Job. He knew that Job would not deny him, and he knew that after Job had finished, he will now bless Job more than two times what he had blessed him before. So anything that God permits, no demon, no Satan can operate under heaven without God's permission. And the book of Job establishes it with many other scriptures. And where we are as believers, also you'll agree with me, is this. That's the reason why God will put prayers in our mouth, so that when we decree that we do not want something to happen, then God will allow what we say to happen and he will dispermit the evil. Amen. That's what our prayer does. We tell the blind to see who have been afflicted by blindness. God permitted that person to be blind, not because God wants it to be so. It's because of the laws of God, which God had made, and God will not judge anybody until everybody come back to him. Somebody afflicted someone to be blind, the person is blind. Now, God will put it in the heart of a Christian who will speak under faith, receive your sight, and God will do it, because God's will is for that blind to see. The will of the wicked is to make him blind. And because God permitted the will of the wicked, God will now glorify himself by answering the voice of his saints. Now, we ought to understand these operations of God. When God will punish people, he sent the devil to go and afflict them. Isaiah tells us that in chapter 54, he created the ravager to work havoc. It's God who created them. They are the tools in the hand of God. But after God used them as a tool to mark sin or to bring judgment, and people will cry to God, God will stretch his hand and stop them. You remember when David went to count the army, and then an afflictor came. Yes. And when David cried, David went to the vineyard of Arna, and there he saw an angel who has stopped the affliction. So we need to understand this principle before I take us in. So last year, everything that happened last year, God permitted it. I will tell you the one God caused, and I will tell you the one that man did, and I will tell you the one that Satan is doing, so that we may have understanding. But this year, let me tell you this year first, and then I will show you last year. While we are praying, while the COVID started, we started a prayer 289 days today. We have been praying every day on this platform, 289 days, our own platform. And in the month of June, God began to speak to me about this year and gave me successive revelations and visions for this year, as he does every year. Now, I saw the Lord first said it will be the year of lights. And I wondered the word lights, because I expected God to say one singular light. And the Lord said, no, plural lights. And then, as we kept on praying in a midnight prayer, the Lord just showed me a vision. I saw the Holy Spirit like a mighty white dove, and it was flying. It started from the North Pole, and it was flying from one light to the other until it got to the end of the South Pole. As it was flapping his wings, fire was falling down from him. And that fire was falling down on believers. Not everyone who go to church received the unction. I need to let you know this. Not everyone who go to church. But I had told the church before, 2 years ago, I saw heaven at the beginning of the 2019. I saw some angels sent to the world. And those angels have syringe in their hand. And the syringe that the angels had as they came into the world, they began to inject people. Not everybody, from the church. And as they were injecting them, the people were floating. They were just shooting to the sky. And I asked the Lord. The Lord said to me that those angels that he sent them for that year to empower people who he will use for the end time revival. They have been marked already now. But you see, what God looked for in those people is clean hands and pure heart. People who do not lift up their heart to this vain world. People who have made up their mind to obey Jesus, whatever the case may be, to believe the word of God and to follow Jesus Christ as their major example. They are the one he inoculated. However, for this year, the fire now came, and the fire became, at the beginning, it was little light, and darkness continued to increase. Thick darkness. You will see thick darkness this year. Very thick darkness. But you know what happened is that the thicker the darkness, the brighter the light. Because if darkness is thick, all right, it enables light to be seen. When darkness is gray, even a bright light in the midst of gray will not be as bright as it is. But if a bright light is in the midst of very thick darkness, you will see that bright light extremely bright. So the Lord said to me that this is the year that the church of God on earth, God's people, will arise. And he gave me Isaiah 60 verse 1, the whole of chapter 60. I won't cover that now because I don't have more time for it. But When you get up, read Isaiah chapter 60. Then he also gave me the book of John. The book of John. If you look at the book of John, chapter 1, verse 5. The Lord said to me, the light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it or understand it. And the Lord said to me that from this year, for 7 years, a journey has begun on earth for the world and for the church. But for the church, if you have been afflicted by Satan before, you fight and you bamboozle and you are falling and stuff like that, forget it. It's gone. When we entered this year, that chapter was closed. In this chapter, God's people will shine.
Amen.
And Satan and demons cannot understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they cannot understand you, they cannot hinder you, they cannot block you, they cannot overcome you.
Mm-hmm.
You can plan against what you understand.
Mm-hmm.
But if you plan against what you don't understand, no matter what you plan, it will fail.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a new era upon the face of the earth for God's people on earth. And you must know that. You must know that. Now, let me tell you about last year. And I will tell you, you know, for God's people, I met some of the prayers you prayed. You have prayed aright. But let me tell you, most of the prayer you are praying has been done already. Mm-hmm. And I will show you the scriptures.
Amen.
When God told me, it has been done already.
Amen.
God started to work on this from last year. But this year, forget it. No Satan can hinder you.
Amen.
No power. For the next 7 years, the church of God will experience some manifestations on
Amen.
that will put the devil to shame. I really saw Lucifer fleeing by the light. I saw demons fleeing. Christians will be walking and evil spirits on the road. We see them and they will run. You will see manifestation of people who have evil spirits. You will just be sitting down in the bus. They will start shouting, they will run out. Those things, you begin to see them happen.
Amen.
Because the light already is in you. From the 0 hour, and that light will shine to the brilliance.
Amen.
As we go into the years.
Yes, Lord.
This is what the Lord has said to me. And that's the reason why the Lord told me to share this with you. God is looking for you. And 6 things that you need to do to be able to operate in God. You will see the lame walk, you will see the blind see, you will see miracles happen, diverse miracles. I'm not talking about with ministers, I'm talking about with saints of God.
Yes.
Are we together now?
Amen.
Sometimes people always think that it's only ministers of God that God uses. No, the Bible didn't teach us that. You and I, those of us who are ministers here, we were not. When Jesus first appeared to me, I was an ordinary member of the church. I was just an intercessor from the age of 9. And from that time, I've enjoyed privileges of the Lord taking me to heaven and all stuff like that. Not as a minister. There are ministers who don't have the privilege even when I was growing. That something will happen in the house of an elder, God will reveal it to me in the dream. And I will tell my father, who was a senior elder, that I saw this about this man. They will go to the man, and it is so. I was not even an usher. I was just an intercessor as a young boy. So what I'm saying now, understand it. If it is for the body, then faithful ministers will enjoy more.
Amen.
That is where we are. Faithful ministers will enjoy more because God will always give the grace to those who are called to ministry so that they can continue to lead the people of God aright. Why God now will manifest in the church to all saints of God, then every faithful minister expects double manifestation. That's what will happen to you.
Yes.
Now, look at the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 6. It says, when a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble? When disaster comes to the city, has not the Lord caused it? Have you read that?
Mm-hmm.
So where is COVID-19 from? From God. COVID-19, the virus came from God. I will show you something now in the prophecies of last year. It says that when disaster comes to the city, is it not the Lord? You will agree with me, 2019, between 2010 and 2019, evil became food on earth.
Mm.
And they were recklessly committing sin. Especially, that's the time that they made laws of this abortion, killing of children, and they were pushing it all over the whole world until it spread around the world. This is the time they brought down this, what do you call them? The transgender issue came up and it pushed it over the whole world. That's the time that you also saw, you know, the government of the Western world legislating, you know, about it, changing of marriage definition, and they were pointing their finger at the eyes of God like that. And they were threatening countries of Africa who will not do it. Even they threatened them with AIDS. It is during that period that you and I became minority if you're a Christian. You can, if you speak against any religion, they have Islamophobia, they have, all other names, but they don't have Christianophobia. If it is against Christianity, nothing happens. And it is in this very period, you saw that those of you who work in government offices or other offices, you begin to see companies begin to donate money to gay rights. And they began to donate money to all this movement, but they do not care about God. And there was celebration to the place where government is voting for all the celebration of gay rights and stuff. So if that happened till last year, like 2019, do you not understand? Do you not understand? If you look at the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, it says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, which is economic crisis, or command locusts and devour your land and send plague among you. This verse is saying, I will shut up the heavens when I do that. When I cause locusts to come against you, shake all your finances, destroy your reliance on finance, and send plague. Then in verse 14, it says, if my people, so who are the people who God is talking about? You and I, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So we understand the fact that when the world is so much sinful, the church of God too, we can't even talk about that today. All manners of strange doctrines that put fear of Satan in people, and people don't fear God anymore. They fear, many Christians fear Lucifer, they fear demons more than they fear God. Because of all the doctrines that did not come from God. Doctrines that does not give faith into people. Doctrines that does not reveal Jesus Christ. If we come to church, we want to know Jesus, not devil. If we want to know about devil, we won't come to church. We'll go to witchcraft and Satanists. But in the pulpit of God over the years also, as Satan is messing up the whole world, he invaded the church of God. The message of the gospel is not just financial prosperity. Of course, those who are righteous will prosper. I will give you a number of scriptures about it. It is not just about devil. It is about Jesus. Paul said, I care to know nothing except Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It is a demonstration of the kingdom power so that the faith of people will not rely on human intelligence. But if you look at the church of God for the same time too, the most vocal voices in the church have derailed from God in his teaching. So therefore, God sent the plague. Okay. And that's why God said, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Now, what happened when the plague came? Christians started, you know, praying. Isn't it? Even those who are not Christian prayed. I joined some ministers in England. If you look at the tier 3, tier 4 that our prime minister did now, he had allowed churches to be meeting. Because at the beginning of the lockdown, some of us ministers gathered ourselves, and then we went to protest we met the government. We're even talking about suing the government to court, which eventually I believe that God prevailed, because we don't want to take government to church, to court. And our government agreed with us to the extent that this lockdown now, he allowed churches to meet. But if you look at when the plague started and people are dying, we can't meet in our church building anymore. It's just like the book of Acts. Persecution arose among them in chapter 3 to chapter 4. And then when you got to chapter 5, they began to scatter. They were running for their lives. So it happened to us last year. Who did it? God. We are too comfortable under buildings. And the sinners are on the streets. We don't go there. Only few go out to do evangelism. We believe that sinners have to come to where we are. So God shut the building. It was a right step for the government. They followed the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, it says that when I set plague among you, it said that lock yourself up and shut the door until my plague will pass. In Goshen, when he told them that plague is coming, he said they should lock up themselves until the plague will pass. So lockdown is from God. Our government just picked it up by the Spirit of God. And they locked down everybody. So when they locked us down, what did we do? Our eyes opened to the power that God gave us we have not been using, which is this Zoom. I'm talking to you now by Zoom because the lockdown last year produced this. If there was no lockdown last year, I will be going to the hall we are meeting. We have the Zoom. We have the, YouTube, Facebook. Many of us don't use it. Whereas if you go to those platforms, the sons of Satan are using it so much. But God allowed the invention so that he can use it as a tool to preach the gospel. And the church slept over it. Only few go. But when the lockdown happened, every pastor have to reach their members. So we went into Zoom and other platforms. Is that not a blessing? It is a blessing. Do you know what happened? As we went into Zoom, we discovered that we have to be meeting them. That is our own prayer we do. That is now 289 days on Zoom. We have been doing it ever as normal principle. If CFT, you have a building at all, anywhere in the globe, my rule is that you must meet in that building every day and pray for 1 hour. Every day, and all my pastors compelled. Because Jesus said, can you not watch for an hour? Then he said that my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. We don't pray just Wednesday. No. You are building every day that must be prayer 1 hour there. And it is being upheld. So now that we now came to lockdown, we have to bring it to the Zoom. And it's today 289 days. Now let me help you understand something. When we came to the Zoom, you know what we have experienced? Our church expanded amazingly. The number of converts grew rapidly. People began to get saved on the Zoom. People will not come to church because of fear of death. They ran to their friends. Their friends directed them to the Zoom. And people are giving their life to Christ. Now, in my church building, I could not reach more than the people that I was talking to. I was amazed when people are getting healed from Saudi Arabia on my Zoom this last year. The people who were diagnosed of COVID were healed of COVID. Not in their mind. They had all the symptoms. They when they were diagnosed, while they were still waiting for their gestation period, a number of them, they have got to the place where lungs, they are not able to breathe again very well. And God picked it up while I was ministering by the Spirit of God. Somebody here have COVID. You are healed in the name of Jesus. The power of God hit them where they were in their country. And the whole body aches vanished instantly. Come on now. What next? They gave their life to Christ. I have their testimonies right here. People now began to get healed of various sicknesses. A king who came to visit the children was locked down. And that king, the children told him, why don't you join us in prayer? The first day the king joined, he said, is this Christianity? Second day, third day, fourth day. And he can't wait for the prayer time to come because I will lead them in prayer and I will teach the word of God too. And that king gave his life to Christ. He phoned his town and told all his chiefs, nobody must bring idol to my palace when I come back. I'm now born again. We are going there now to do crusade. He was begging us that please come and do crusade. Every idol in my town, I want them destroyed. I am going there. And you know when they say that things like that is happening, you know that is where my own bone rise.
Yes,
I will not be one idol in that place when I leave that place by the grace of God. The moment COVID is over, it is that village. We are putting money into buying equipment, buying vehicles, so that when we hit that village, we want to healed every other village. Because when God sent me to villages, you know, idols don't remain. Demons don't, they don't stay. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But the head of the village, which is the king, he said, I don't know. So God brought him here to be born again. Okay. And to be groomed as a warrior.
Hmm.
He learned how to pray throughout the period that himself is why they began to pray by the Spirit. Now, he is one. And many others were healed, were delivered. Now, can Satan do that? No, it is God. It is God. It is God, brethren. It is God. And I will show you that it is God because God spoke to me in a public meeting about all the things that happened last year. That last year, he told me that it was going to shake the economy. Then when we entered last year, we were praying. He said to me that plague will pass through the world this year and pray for covering. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And we prayed. God covered everybody. He said that there will be an economic crisis. During the economic crisis, he said, that is when I will bless you. He said, many of you will be promoted. Let me tell you, when I sat down with my own auditors for the end of year, I discovered that our income has increased for more than 150%.
Mm.
I discovered that our membership has increased so largely. When they said that we should come to church, you know, with all the separation to meters, you are doing 1 meter or whatever, the cathedral was filled up and down, and new people were coming. Every time we open, new people will come. Even with their nose, they will cover their nose from beginning of service to the end of service, but they still came. Now, and it's not only me. I've spoken to a number of prophetic voice ministers, the same testimony. The income has gone up astronomically because people are now giving by the social media. I only want to say that, Pastor, you know, I sent this to you when you were taking offering, we took off the details on time. And I'm sure that some people, they haven't completed, you know, filling your details before you took it off. So that maybe when we are going to finish, you are going to put the detail there so that we can put offering there.
Yes, sir.
You understand me? People who are watching from all over the world are now giving to the church. They are now giving. Somebody may just come for the first time, he's blessed, he gives. And the income of the church increased rapidly. The number of converts increased rapidly. Now, the number of converts now, not only in London, all over the world, there are people now who are calling us from Zimbabwe that we should come and start there. We have some Filipinos who joined. Where have we not been? The broadcast reached India, it reached countries in Africa, it reached Saudi Arabia and the Arab Emirates, United States of America, Latin America, Canada, Australia. That's how people are calling. But this will not happen if COVID did not happen. It's God who sent COVID. And I've shown you here, when I send plague and when I cause this economic crisis to happen. Why did God send COVID? The sins of this world. If you were God, will you not be angry with the world? The church is in a mess. The world is in a mess. And most who speak loud that their voices are heard in the church, majority of the number, not all, but the loudest, the majority of them, you know, They no more preaching the gospel. I don't want to hear anybody tell me how to be rich. I know how to be rich. Not church, you tell me. Church don't have anything to tell me how to be rich than to tell me to walk in the fear of God. If I walk in the fear of God, I'll be rich. But when it comes to there is a man watched my program on television one day. The man phoned from Nigeria. And the man said to me, Apostle Williams. I said, yes. I said, is that you? I said, yes, it's me. He said, I have stopped going to churches in Nigeria. He said, I just came back from a night vigil that a few of us decided to be praying. We don't go to church anymore. I said, why? He said, every church I go is prosperity. They are talking and I don't need it. He said, I'm extremely wealthy. I have oil rig. I have oil company. I want my soul to be fed. I went to this church, it's suffering or demon. I went to that church, it's suffering or demon. He said, I just said that these guys are not serious. I will pray in my house and God will answer me. And he said, I'm not the only one. And with the other friends, we don't need this stuff. We want to grow in spirit. You know, tears came out of my eyes. He said, but I came from the vigil today, and the Holy Spirit told me, switch on your television. And as I switched on, you were the one that was speaking. He said, I listened and said, are there human beings like this or not?
Mm.
I said, yeah, we are. Only our voices are not heard. So if the church has become so decayed that bishops are leaving their wife, marrying another person, committing adultery, and top people in church are messing about, don't you know that God will have to act? So he sent the judgment. And when the judgment came, those who have been hearing me never was afraid. They were never, nobody who was under my voice, nobody under my voice were timid or afraid at all. My people are telling people that we have known about this. Let me tell you, my church, two testimonies of financial promotion, both the youth and the old, does not matter. There is somebody who called me one day. He got an increment last year of £30,000 on his job in the same office. You know, somebody they gave £30,000 is not earning £20,000 or £30,000 or $60,000. His salary went over £100,000 straight away. He's a senior guy. He's a young man in his 30s. And others had £20,000, £5,000, £10,000 increments. Some left their job. They got another job. And where people are crying that they are jobless because God told us. And I prepared the people. I spoke to them for 2 months over thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Deal with their heart condition, mind condition before this onslaught. Let me play to you a video. After that video is just about 8 minutes, I will now tell you the 6 things that you need to do. Look, blessing is hanging over you. Let me read these scriptures to you, really. Look at the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Look at God, your God, my God. In him, we were also chosen. We have also chosen. Having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Do you believe that? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So whatever happened in this world, God is working it out to your own goodness. That is what it says. The King James says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. It is our rights. When things are scattered and everybody is crying that we will not. When there is famine, we should have plenty. Christians should not be famished. That is the will of God. It is our inheritance. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Does that mean that we cannot be jobless? We can be jobless, but when we are jobless, it's to get a better job.
Amen. Amen.
That's why God will let you be jobless. Some people, they have been serving in one company all these years. Instead of them to move on, they don't move on. God will kick them out. Shake the companies and they will sack them. When they sack them, they are another dog will open. That's when they will now start looking for, they will now know how what they are. Everything that happens, whether it looks good or bad, God is working behind it. Look at the book of Romans also. Romans chapter 8. Every one of us will know that. It says in verse 25, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That is us. Coronavirus, God is working behind it. God is the one who sent plague. He said it. No devil can send plague. It's God who does. But when he sends the plague, he uses evil spirits. He created the ravager to work havoc.
Yes.
And when we cry out for mercy, which everybody did during last year, the moment the voice of mercy was heard, you will discover from April, as you started praying in March, by April, the rate of death began to decrease and the rate of recovery began to increase. Today, those who are recovered are into over 10 million. Those who have been dead are just about 1 point something million. They will announce it to us every day that so many people are recovering. But thank God for Jazeera. They put it there sometime. Recovery really has gone beyond 11 million. People have recovered. But it's your prayer, my prayer, that did that. Are we together now?
Yes.
Because God works in everything. During this period of COVID, I tell you, I told my members, I thank God for COVID. They too thank God for COVID because we have never in my church known the word of God as we have done in this period. Because every day, 7 p.m., everybody will join. People are joining from all over the world. We will read four chapters of the Bible a day. Two from one book, two from the other book. Right now, we are reading the book of Exodus and the book of Revelation so that they can be balanced in their theology. And then people will not be told that they will need prayer. By evening, they just set text you on the Zoom that you are leading prayer, get ready, you are leading prayer, get ready. So I began to see my people read the Bible and they talk to God, hear God and understand. You must pray from the scripture you read that day. That is my law. Even children of 11, they will need it. Read it and they can understand it. And we have seen revival in my own church. Total revival. We have seen people love God more. We have seen people faithful more. And people can't wait. And everybody now is looking, you know, using their mind in social media to push the gospel. When I'm preaching, some people are typing statements. They are sending it out all over the whole place. Everybody hands on deck. During this lockdown, this is what lockdown did for us. And moreover, you know, the bill we paid last 2019, when we compare with the bill we paid 2020, we have made a lot of gain from bill because we have not been coming to church. So our light bill went down, our gas bill went down. So it's win-win. The church grew both spiritually, it grew financially, it grew numerically, it spent less. So tell me, we have never seen a year that all this happened in 1 year, but last year. So when it happened last year, we now decided to draw a line and look at what we did and how it happened. And now this Zoom, we have come here never to go back to church, to building. Our building will be used only on Sundays, but our daily prayer and our members too, the money that they will spend driving to the church and coming back, all of them reserved it. They conserved it. The, you know, clothes. Somebody was telling me that last year, a pastor, one among you ministers, that, you know, he said, Daddy, last year, my clothes are so new. I normally will change my clothes. He said, but last year, because we don't go to church, I just stay on the Zoom and preach the gospel. He said, we didn't buy new clothes this year. So our people have become more financially well off, more spiritually. And let me tell you, do you know that because now we pray in the house of everybody, that house now has concentration of angels, nightmare gone. Visions and revelations is what they are having now, because when you pray on the same spot again and again, it becomes a Bethel where angels are descending and ascending. It becomes a place where demons cannot operate in the area because that place you are praying. Formerly, they pray in church well. When they get home, they pray little. But now, we are praying heavily in the houses. So it's win-win. So I want to say that we must thank God for what God did, because God used last year to shake the world, and then God now uses it to strengthen his church and empower his people. Why? Because this is the year of light, 2021. Let me play these prophecies to you, and then we'll go through the 6 things the Lord told me. But let me say that this year will be the best year you have ever lived since you have been born.
Amen.
And better years are ahead of you.
Amen.
Are you with me now? If any one of you have any problem with devil, just let me know. I will tell you, to handle devil does not cause sweat. I went to Africa. They tell me, there is a devil here. These people are killers. I said, I want to die now. Let them kill me. I went to them, those who are killers, that I was told that you are a killer. If you are a killer, kill me with your voodoo. I was told that you are wicked people here. Now, kill anybody here. They were shaking like leaves. And the days are gone when Christians are misinformed about Satan. And I picked all these people who are young believers, go and confront them. We went to Forbidden Forest. We came out unhurt. The chief priest that is in the forest have been built for 500 years, that nobody goes there except these wicked people. The day I took ministers there in Ijebuland in Nigeria, from that day till today, no more occultic practice in that bush. They can't find the head of the occult. He vanished. We saw him, we rebuked him, and he went off, and that's it. Till today, they didn't find him. They sent bird to come and kill me. I commanded life out of the bird, and out. He came down dead. I carried it and burnt it. This is gospel for you. Anything less than this to me, I will warn you. But it can only come when you and I understand Christ.
Yes.
And we understand the apostles. We know we have the Old Testament. I will show you the destiny of your children. Your children can never be cursed if you are born again. Impossible. They can never be cursed. God did not apportion the children of the saints, of the righteous, to be afflicted or to be cursed. They will overcome it. Let me show you. Let me tell you a few things about your children. Write this down. Psalm 102, verse 28. He said, the children of your servant will live in your presence. Their descendant will be established forever, before you forever. That the children of God's servant, your descendant will be established before God forever. Now, look at Isaiah 54, verse 13. All your sons will be taught from above, and great shall be your children's prosperity. This is God for the children of the saints. Isaiah 54, verse 13. That's what I read to you now. Look at Psalm 69, verse 34 to 36. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and all that move in it. For God will save Zion, that is you and I, and rebuild the cities of Judah, that is his church, his people. Look at this. The people will settle there and possess it. The children of his servant will inherit it. Our children will inherit Great Britain.
Amen. Amen.
And those who love his name will dwell in it. Look at Isaiah 46, verse 9 to 10. Remember the former things. Those of long ago, all the miracles of parting the Red Sea, calling fire from the sky, and all the rest of it. Then God says, I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from the ancient times. What is still to come? I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. That's what happened last year. That's what's happening this year for the next 7 years. I told my members this one month, if you have 1 hour to pray, thank God for 45 minutes. 45 minutes. Deal with the devil just 2 minutes. Because devil is to resist him. You know, Satan is very cunning. We bind him, we pray against him. Yes, he will obey. But he will come to try and deceive your heart and thinking. The moment he can get your thinking, your prayer is nullified. Because he will make you what he wants you to be. He will make you think the way he wants you to think. So believers, you must understand this. If you bind the devil and you cast demons, at which you have the right to do, Mark chapter 16, 17 tells us, we must also understand that our mind, we must guard our hearts and mind from every deception of Satan. I would get that. Because God said his purpose will stand. When I see all the riots, all the turbulence, you know, even if God did not speak to me about all these things before they happen, if I see all these things, what I'll be looking for is that, God, where are you in it? What is your purpose? Why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this to happen? You may not cause this, but why is it happening? What are you trying to tell us? Who are your people? I don't give Satan glory. I thought Satan have no glory with me. No, he doesn't have glory. I don't give Satan one single praise. I don't make him feel he's something. He is nothing. Because Jesus said in the book of Luke chapter 10, verse 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning. I have given you authority over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing by any means will hurt you. He says, I give you authority to walk on the serpent, on the snakes, the dragon, whatever name he may call himself. And he said, nothing by any means will hurt you. Read that scripture. Read that scripture. Jesus said it to you and I. Are we together now?
Yes, yes.
Let's say Satan bite my leg. No problem. I will bite his neck too. Not only his neck, I will bite the neck of all his friends. Every demon that is working with him, they will suffer because they scratch me. But however, when I pray for an hour, I give my God the praise for 45 minutes.
Yes.
I ask for things. I don't pray things. Lord, let this happen to this person. Lord, do this for that person. Lord, do this for your church. Lord, do this for your people. That's what I will pray. And then when I read the devil, 3 minutes, maximum 5 minutes, I'm finished with it. For devil, we read the scripture and we command him. And he will do it. Satan is not a tough thing at all. It's not a tough thing. When you exalt God, that's when you can enter the realm of vision.
Yes.
When you worship the Lord, that's when your spirit can come out of your body, you can enter the realm of spirit and see. And you can see demons too. But you must be a God worshiper. Somebody who acknowledges the God of heaven all the time. And somebody who guards his heart and mind so that the devil cannot lay eggs on you, into you. So this is the promise of God for every one of you. The purpose of God for you will stand this year. The counsel of God will be established. Let me say this to you. What about if there is a minister who last year you couldn't get your members again? They are not your members. They are God's members. So if they left, it's God who told them to leave. So what do you do when you don't have member? Elijah, principle of Elijah. He went to the mountain to seek God. Isn't it? Did Jesus have member when he went to fast and pray? They were just following him. But when he returned in power, what happened? The news spread. And let me say this. It's not only when we have issues. A minister of God should spend more time before God, day and night, praying and seeking his face. Have a relationship with God. Talk to God. Hear him. Ask him what he's doing. We have entered New Year. From October, I told all my minister, you must pray to ask God, what is God's plan for next year? For 3 months, I've been praying from June, and I've been hearing it. So then, many Christians will have invention this year. Light of God will shine in your mind. You will be the solution to your neighborhood this year. You will be the solution to your family this year. You will be the shining beacon in the midst of darkness this year. That's what God told me about you. And that's what I'm telling you. Look at this for you. Isaiah chapter 37, verse 35. Isaiah 37, 35. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of my servant. God will defend your family this year. God will defend your home this year. God will defend your city this year. God will defend your church this year. The one who brought the people, it will bring them more. But what you must do for God, I beg you, disciple them, teach them about Jesus. Let them know very well about Jesus. Forget about devils. It is better you understand a demon because you have grown in the spirit than to be fed information that will scare your soul to death. Teach God's people about Jesus Christ. Jesus said, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey all I have taught you. Anything Jesus did not teach, refrain from it this year. And for you Christians, don't want to know it. Jesus said it in the book of Matthew. If you look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So anything Jesus did not command, the church should not be taught. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Do you know, somebody had said to me, but Apostle, we have to know other things. Yes, we have to know. But when we read the whole Bible, we read from Genesis to Revelation, look for Jesus there. He's there. If you did Christological studies in seminary, in Bible school, you will read about him. Okay? Jesus is there. Why we know, we tell people what Satan had done, but we tell them what God has done more. So that Satan is diminished, but God is exalted. Are we together? Satan can do anything that God permits him. He cannot do what God did not permit him. And one of the things that God had done is that he said, I give you the power on earth to lose and to bind. He said, whatever you permit on earth is permitted in heaven. And this is where we and God come into partnership, because when God permits the enemy is doing what he's doing, we can dispermit him and God will honor our word. In the last days, Daniel chapter 12 said, evil will increase. So it's God's permission. They are increasing in evil. But he said the righteous will be more righteous. And that is what you and I need to do. Because God who said that evil will increase said that we too will be more righteous. I would together now. So your destiny is in God. If you look at that Matthew, teach them teach them. He said, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of age. Look at what the disciples did in the book of Mark 16:20. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, as Jesus said. And the Lord walked with them and confirmed his word by signs that accompany it. Let me tell you, if you're a minister or you're a Christian, listen to me. People go and fast for power, but you cannot fast for your car. You bought a car. You park it in front of your house. Can you go and be fasting that God should give you a car? You already gave you a new car. So to be fasting for power is a waste of time. What you need to fast for is relationship with God. It's for cleanliness of heart and mind. It's for faith. It's for the spiritual things, gifts, so that you can operate in the power. Because you need to discover the power in you before you can operate in it. I pray that God will open your eyes. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. That God will open our understanding so that we can discover what he has put in us. That's what we can fast for. We can fast and pray for cities. We can fast and pray for people. We can fast and pray for nations because we are pleading God's mercy in those circumstances. But to fast for power, no. Relationship will operate the power. Your knowledge of the word of God will operate the power, because the Bible says, then the disciples went about and preached everywhere they went, and God walked with them and confirmed his word. If you are not speaking the word of God, there's no confirmation. That's why miracles don't happen on many pulpits. If you enter God serious, when you speak God, God will confirm it. That's why you see miracle happen. Some people don't have a gift of miracles. No. If it is miracles, all of us have miracles. There are some who may be anointed by God to do extraordinary miracles, but every child of God can operate in signs and wonders, and we can operate in healing. We can operate in all the nine gifts. Every child of God, the Bible says so. When it says that in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, he said, I wish that all of you would speak in tongues, but I even want you more to prophesy. He said, you can all prophesy one after the other. So why do you hate prophets? Why do you adore prophets? No, prophetic is for every Christian. It's for every Christian. So, but it comes by relationship. And I'm saying this because I want your heart not to be troubled. Look, I have said this when I came to England. You know, people who have known me now, who don't know me before, need to know this. I was brought down. Before I came to England, I was a qualified land surveyor. I was earning money. I had pounds sterling in my wardrobe in Nigeria. I will have minimum 10,000 pounds cash in my wardrobe, because if I need to spend money. Because at that time, £1 is 1.2 naira. So I had business. I was booming. And God told me here, when I got here, God took everything from me, not Satan. Because if God didn't take everything from me, I may not have faith like this. To the place whereby my wife and I had just a can of garri, half full, for 3 months. And that is when we knew how to pray. Because we would drink only garri, we would leave it in water to swell, so that both of us can share it. In London, I'm talking about. And then 3 months after, we saw that the garri did not decrease in size. God sustained us. Then we'll be singing praises, both of us. We'll be rejoicing. I would tell my wife to drink. She said, no, I'm bigger than you. You drink. I said, no, you drink. We went through it. I went to go and work as a morning cleaner, to clean offices. I was a graduate, professional before I came here. I went to work as morning cleaner. I work as a pizza chef. I work as a security officer over mortuary. Are you with me now? I work as a cab driver. And I was a graduate, I was a professional. If I didn't do that, what about Moses? He was a king. And then he came to work like a servant before God commissioned him. So when we didn't have money, it doesn't matter to us. We have food, we eat. We don't have food, we fast. And we don't blame God for it. I don't blame God for anything that happened to me, because I know that God is working everything according to his counsel and purpose. So, you know, so if you are going through hard time now, come on, it's part of the dinner we eat with God. If you have not been taken through it, you pray for it to come quick, because you must go through the furnace before you can be refined. I would get that. If you have swam in ocean, swimming pool cannot be threatening you. God will take you to the deeper waters and leave you in the midst of the storm so that you can struggle yourself. And after you've done everything, he will empower you and you will float. And he said, that's how you do it. That's how Jesus teaches. He was in the boat and there was storm. The presence of Jesus in the boat did not stop the storm. Is that not amazing? And Jesus kept on sleeping until water was coming into the boat. He was still sleeping. Until the disciple did what? Prayed. Master, do you not care we perish? He said, what are you talking? You just spoke now. You didn't ask me. As for me, I'm sleeping. And the whole place was turmoil. And then he came and said, stop. And then the wave stopped. They didn't complain to Jesus. They cried to him. Okay? So, if you are going through times and seasons now, forget it. It's part of your training. It's not Satan. It is God, your God. It is God, your God. He may use the devil. I don't say he couldn't. He can use man to train you, and they may do bad to you because God allowed it. But God will allow it because the end of the road is promotion for you. the end of your test is past. So you may be going through your test. Don't let the devil take any glory. Be thanking God for it, because you know that the testing of your faith will bring perseverance, and perseverance, when it finishes work, you will get to glory. Whatever you are going through or you have gone through last year, I speak prophetically over your life that in this month, God will bless you. God will restore you. God will elevate you. God will exalt you. God will manifest himself in your life beyond the wildest dream. The purpose for which God has called you, it shall be fulfilled.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of anything. We have thick skin. The Bible says in all things you should give what? Glory to God. Celebrate God more than circumstances. Our God speaks even to today. There are many things about this year that I cannot tell you now because we are getting close to my time. However, I have let you know that this year, Isaiah 60 is your portion. I say Isaiah 60 is your portion. I will read it to you after this little piece. Watch this. This is just prophecies, and you need to be careful about this because God gave me these prophecies this last year, but it talks about 3.5 years of recession in England. It talks about what will happen in 7 years, and it talks about what the kingdom of hell is doing with what God has planned to do. Just watch this.
I see a crash on the global finance. All right. It looks similar to what happened the last time, but the ripple was greater than what happened. So when you look at investing, be careful not to invest on stocks, because some you may divert your investment into assets that are fixed, like property, because whatever happens, property will still spring up.
The works in the hands of these people. For you have told me that we will go in Britain into a recession of 3.5 years. And it begins from next year. Lord, I pray thee, let rain fall from heaven upon the works of their hands.
In the days of plagues and calamity that is coming, separate us, Lord, from the judgment and wrath. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Lord, in the days of your wrath over the earth, show that you are the means of Christ's great tabernacle. He says, I will distinguish. The Lord says, I will make distinction between my people and the people of Israel, of Egypt. He says, this miraculous sign will occur tomorrow. Father, tomorrow, when your plague shall pass, in some days' time, when your rod shall pass, in some months' time in this year, when the heart of men shall fail them, because of the shaking, anywhere we are, make distinction of us. Make decision of the families of Christ's tabernacle. Make decision of our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Make distinction, O God, of our church. Everywhere in the world. Mandarabaso Kurimaleri Debasa. It says, because the Lord is in their midst. Lord, reveal yourself as the one in our midst. Reveal yourself as the one in our midst. To our house. Do not let plague and rot affect any of our members. Do not let your judgment. You say, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Pass over. Pass over. The judgment of God will pass over CFT and all our members, wherever they may be. Pray all
the bush keep running, but I'll die.
I saw a wild wind with great fury coming out from the pit of hell. It is thus the last onslaught of Satan, but it is his name is called delusion, a deception of magnitude that the world had not seen, with the intention to harden the heart of men, beginning from the church. I found out by the Spirit of the Lord that the devil built towers in the mind of many believers, and he built towers in churches. He built towers in families. The name of the tower is called deception and delusion. And then people began to ignore the principles of God and began to justify illegitimate acts by their conviction. But then I see that the new delusion coming is even stronger than that. Such that if the Lord did not do anything about it, many people who are born, who speak for God to be, will soon begin to deny that God exists. It is a way that will move upon nations like a movement, and it will sweep nations like storm. The souls of the righteous will be tormented. Should that
man.
However, God also has sent forth a signal from heaven into the souls of his saints, waiting for the flood to come. And when the flood shall be released from hell, of which it must come, when it will hit the world, then I saw the saints of God, true saints of God, that which God has sent into their spirit begin to emerge. And rather than that wind of the devil to delude the whole world, it shall be used as a catalyst to release a new dimension of operations and manifestation in the church. And that is what will distinct the saints of God from the entire world. The moment that begins to happen, then unction will come like an avalanche from heaven upon the saints of the Lord. I see Christians, God's people, given authority over the nature, moon and the stars and the sun and the nature. I see authority given to God's people over physical body and created things upon the earth. I see an elevation come upon the people of God, the saints of God. And they were revealed to be in control of anything that will happen or anything that God has created on the face of the earth. And instead of these delusions to seal the hearts of men against the salvation that God had given them, the delusions cause men to challenge the existence of he that lives forever and ever, and the manifestation upon the sons of God began to change their view. And in thousands and a million, they began to bow to the Lord who lives forever and ever. You mark my words, delusion is coming. But when you begin to hear of it, understand that God has marked you. He has marked his saints on earth. And lastly, it is the delusion that will wake up the mighty man in you that will bring the manifestation that God has prepared. God cannot be caught by surprise. He knew the devil would plan it. He knew the time and the season that he will unleash it. And so he had created the beings for that time that will counter it. I want to congratulate you that you are one of.
Well, this is part of the prophecies. I will make this available to Pastor Ajayi, so that any one of you who want to get it and just listen to it again, it's worth listening to again and again for you and I to know where we are in God's agenda, what the enemy will be doing, so that we will not miss out from what God wants to use his church to do. Now, write this down. I have just about 8 minutes more now, finish. But write this down. 6 things that God said you must do this year. Or rather, I say, the topic is God is looking for you. What you must do for God to really be able to use you. Now, look at the book of John, chapter 12, verse 24 to 26. It says, I tell you the truth, unless the kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, or it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also must be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. This is a capstone for you and I. The first thing I want to know is that God wants you and I to die so that we can live. Unless the kernel fall to the ground and die, it can never bear fruit. Die to yourself, die to your old operations, die to your old behavior, character. I recognize that the minister of God who led you in prayer before was leading us in prayer also concerning that. There are some attitudes that Christians have had before, and Satan is the one who developed it, and he used it to hinder you from God's blessing. You must die to those attitudes. You must die to the world. Worldliness must not be inside you. We cannot import anything of the world into the church service. Impossible. You cannot use satanic things, what Satan invented, to worship or to serve God. I'm talking about the ways of life now. All right. So you must die to your pride, and you must die also to your weariness and weakness and procrastination. Therefore, write these 3 things down about death. Death is gateway to greatness. That's the number one thing you need to write. If you want to be great, you must die first. Number two, death is the gateway to conquest. You cannot conquer this world until you die to yourself. And death is the gateway to glory. You know, when you want to invent things, you will have to die to the whole world. Lock up yourself and keep on seeking and keep on seeking and keep on reading, live a different life, and then you will invent. Anybody who wants to have success in life, if you are going to school, you are studying, you want to come with best, first, last, and the praise on that day, you have to die to everything that detracts you. Same thing with God. In this world today, minister, you want God to bless you, die to everything that is ungodly. And just focus on God alone. Don't keep friends who are ungodly. Anybody who teaches anything that Jesus did not teach, don't follow him. There are things in the Old Testament that we cannot teach because they're not applicable to us. The book of Hebrews chapter 8 tells us that they have been shut down because Jesus fulfilled them. And you must be very careful according to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 8, from verse 1 really to 17. It says that when the Old Testament is read, veil still covers people's faces. But it's in Christ that the veil are removed from verse 14. And men with unveiled faces reflect the glory of God. You have to unveil your Old Testament with Christ to be able to reflect glory. You must know Jesus, you know, like this, completely. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
Now, the 6 things is this. I won't teach you. I will write it, but you will go and you will develop it. Number one, God is looking for a man who will follow him. And that's what you saw in that scripture. God is looking for a man who will follow him. Number two, God is looking for a man who will trust him You know, in trusting God, all what I was telling you that for me, I never say in my life that Satan did anything. Though even if I recognize that Satan did it, my own is to stop it. You know why? I trust God so much. That what God says, if what is happening is different from what the promise of God is, for me, that thing that is happening is a lie. Though it's happening, it's a lie. It will soon fade off. Because the word of God is what will prevail. That is trusting God. If something appears to me terrible and bad, and I can see disaster in front of me, I do not fear because I know that it's a shadow. God had promised me victory. He said, thanks be to God, he gives us victory. He always gives us victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. He always gives us victory. So I don't care about bad. I don't care about bad news. I don't care about, you know, bad things happening. What I care about is my connection with Christ intact. Then I don't have problem. You must trust him. Number three, God is looking for a man who will obey him. But to obey him, you must know his instructions. All the parables of Jesus, go and read it. They are full of instructions. All the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament, read it. They are full of instructions. Number four, God is looking for a man who will honor him. To honor God means to fear, to shun evil. That is to honor God. To honor God is to shun evil, to walk in the fear of God. Number five, God is looking for a man who will believe in him. The Bible says in the book of John, if you believe in me, as the scripture says, out of your belly shall flow rivers. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 38. So on the last day, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, verse 38, as the scripture said, not as pastor or bishop or apostle or prophet or pope said, anything we say about Christ, you must see it in the Bible. If we say, I know, you know, it has, this is the way it is now, that's not of God. Because if you believe God, Jesus, as the scripture says, that's when you can experience it. He says, streams of water and living water will flow from him. But you have to believe God as the Bible says. Believe Jesus is what the Bible says. And finally, God is looking for a man that he too can trust. If God visits you tomorrow, and you come out raising all the dead bodies in the mortuary, will you still be who you are? Or pride will enter your head? If God before the end of this year did some moves or move and you became a multi-millionaire, a genuine one, somebody just came and asked money and said, look, I just want to give you. And you see yourself in money, see yourself in big position that you never dreamt of. Will you behave like Uzziah? In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 19 says, from 16, it says, and Uzziah grew very wealthy, and his pride entered his head. Will you behave like Solomon, who God appeared to twice and warned him and blessed him so much, and that knowledge corrupted Solomon eventually to disobey God and marry strange wife and brought idol to God's altar? There are many God had tested with wealth and power and honor before, and they have disgraced God. You and I must make a vow that it will not be so with us.
Amen.
That God can trust us.
Amen.
Shall we bow our heads and pray?